We are going to be in Philippians this morning, chapter 1. Now, this is really kind of interesting. Because we started a series last week that I didn't even know I started. Does that make sense to you? If that makes sense to you, there's something wrong with you.
No, we know you.
You know what? Kay said Kay was at a wedding this last week, and she said the guy that performed the marriage was a dead ringer for me. The way he looked, his actions, the way he spoke, that's sad.
Everything.
So they didn't break the mold. How old was he? Yeah. How old was he?
About your age.
About my age. My twin! I didn't know I had a twin. Okay, but that's beside the point. I started a series last week without even realizing I was doing it. This week I got the idea, why not? And this new series is, I don't know what the limitations are on it even yet exactly, but it is a series on my favorite verses. And it kind of makes sense, but yet in all these years, I've never done anything like this. Last week was 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, or of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And I did that because of the fears that are out there in this world that are pressuring upon us. And the understanding that those fears don't come from God. They do not come from God. He does not give us that spirit. And that's one of my verses that I go back to many times in my life. And I started thinking ahead to this week, and I thought of this verse, Philippians 1:6. And before I knew it, I was thinking to myself, hey, this isn't a bad idea. These are verses that I know and I love and have memorized in my life, and they are beneficial. They're verses I go back to many times. So if I do that, maybe they would be important to you, and they are verses that you have heard before and I've preached on or used in sermons, but this is particularly keen in on these specific verses. Now, I'm going to add a little twist to this series, too. If you have a favorite verse that you would like me to preach on and teach on, write it down. Tell me why it's your favorite verse or one of your favorite verses. It doesn't have to be the favorite, but one of your favorite verses. It's just one that you would like to hear something on. Write it down why. And give me that piece of paper, and I'll consider it. I won't make a promise, but I'll consider it very, very strongly. This is your chance to get involved in this as well. As I said, last week we spoke about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Point being that often fear comes from Satan. Not often, always. And I didn't spend a lot of time talking about it, but there is a certain kind of fear that is built into us as a warning device. You know, step back. Don't step on the rattlesnake. And it's a healthy thing that does come from God. But the fears that we often face in our lives, the fear of what may happen, if such and such, all this. Any of you had fears last week that another person would win the election? Maybe you did. You had a fear. Well, those kind of fears, although maybe justified, are not from God. And there's a fear that incapacitates people, particularly, and renders them, in a sense, useless in this world. Because of the fears that they have. And that's an extreme degree, and there's lesser degrees of that as well. And that kind of fear does not come from God. God gives us power, and he gives us love, and he gives us a sound mind to think rationally according to his word and his truth, to put things into perspective through his eyes shining through us. So today we're going to talk about Philippians 1:6. And it says this, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it," or perfect it, "until the day of Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. Two foundational truths of which we will consider briefly. I've been going a little bit over time the last few Sundays, so I'm going to try to encapsulate this as quickly as I can and let you get to the pork. Number one, it is God who is the initiator of our salvation. Okay, this is very simple. Sometimes we kind of miss this, I think, a little bit. There's a term called evangelicals. We would be considered evangelicals, that we believe in the evangelization of the world through faith in Jesus Christ. We believe in the gospel and spreading the gospel. That would be true. There's sometimes maybe a little confusion here, and maybe it's just a matter of semantics, but we'll talk about this for a moment. He who is our God and our Creator and our Savior initiated that salvation in your life. If you're a believer, you've trusted your life to Jesus Christ, God is the initiator of that. He has begun a good work in you. Nothing more important in your life than to have salvation in Jesus Christ. I believe that. Nothing more important. There's a lot of important things in your life: to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good child, to be a good whatever, a good worker, a responsible person. All of these things, to be loving, to be kind, and all of that. But nothing is important as knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, being saved from your sin and having salvation. Because that deals with an eternal aspect of who you are. It's not just the here and now. It's eternity. The here and now is just a flash in time. Eternity is forever. To have your sin forgiven, and that has to happen. Sin cannot be a part of you. It has to be forgiven. And it can be forgiven. And God has promised that he would forgive us our sins. To have our sin forgiven and the promise of God that we will spend eternity with him. This is the good work. This particular phrase used in this verse is talking about salvation. He who has begun a good work in you. It's not just to make you a nice person. It's not just to help you to do the right things. It is to make you understand that you need Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, to have forgiveness of sins, that he took the load of sin of all mankind upon himself when he went to the cross, and he died for that sin, particularly your sin. That if you just trust him in that, if you believe with your heart that that is the answer, if you place your faith in him, that your sin will be forgiven and that you will have salvation, that you will have eternal life with him. This is the good work. Here's what some people miss. I alluded to this already. Maybe subconsciously, maybe it's a matter of semantics, but you've maybe heard it said, or maybe said it yourself. Here it is, it's big. I found Jesus. Okay? It's a little short phrase, not that big. Okay. I found Jesus. You ever thought about that? I mean, actually stopped. You've at least heard it. Maybe. Well, maybe you haven't. I've heard it many times, okay? I can speak for myself. Was Jesus lost? Was I involved in this big search party and we went out looking for Jesus and found him? Well, there's a sense where that may be true. But the reality is that Jesus wasn't lost, was he? We didn't have to find him because he knew exactly where he was. You were lost. That's the bottom line here. And we've just kind of sometimes twisted things around a little bit. You were lost. Scripture says that you were blind. You couldn't see. It says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's pretty significant. You were in a place that you couldn't do anything about it. You know, sometimes I think in my own mind that there's been a place and a time where I thought to myself, you know, I'm just a little bit smarter than the average guy, and I figured out this Jesus thing. Maybe you haven't ever thought about that or even participated in that kind of thinking. But, you know, I figured it out. I think that's far from the truth. Because I was blind and I was dead. I was lost. And Jesus reached out to me. And he embraced me. And shared himself with me. And he initiated every aspect of my salvation. And I'm not desiring to get into the deep theological discussion of all of this. I just know this, that it is he, God, it is Jesus Christ who began this work in me. Even though I was maybe in a Christian home, I was in a good church, I was being taught that if God hadn't have reached out to me in the way that he did and helped me to understand my need, I would have continued to be lost. He started that work. He began that good work in me. I participated by this little thing called faith. He helped me. He gave me the ability to believe. He convicted me so much that I had to. I really didn't have a choice anymore. I had to believe. I had to have faith, and that is essential. But he began that good work in me. He initiates and does the work. And that is what he wants. You have your choice. You can walk away and turn your back on it, or you can believe. And I pray that he has begun that good work in you. That's the initial moment of salvation. That's where it begins. That is the beginning. Even before that, he begins the work inside of you to draw you to himself and to show you salvation. And it is a continuing work that he does within you. It continues on to that second aspect, that second truth, until the day of redemption, until the day that we are completely changed and be with him for all eternity. And so he finishes what he starts. He begins it, and he will complete it, or perfect it, until the day of redemption. began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. We're all looking forward. We're all looking forward to a time when we can leave this old world behind. Some of you younger ones haven't got to this place yet, maybe. But many of us older ones are there. And we think to ourselves, okay, to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. That sounds pretty good most days. Oh, that sounds really good. I mean, what are we leaving behind? We're leaving behind family, and that's a tough one. But we know for us personally, to be in the presence of the Lord is going to be amazing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We could have picked that one, Ken. But we didn't. God has promised that He will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, let me make just a little notation here. Sometimes there's a little bit of confusion. It says the day of Jesus Christ, the day of Christ Jesus, whichever way you want to say it's fine. But we also have in Scripture the day of the Lord. And we have that a significant amount of times as well. They're two different things. Just think with me a second. We aren't going to get deep into this. The day of the Lord is always associated with judgment. The day of the Lord. It's your day in court. The day of the Lord. Our Master, the Lord, will dole out His judgment on sin upon those who have rejected Jesus Christ. That's the day of the Lord. The day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, or Jesus, or however you want to say it, is a pleasant time. It's a time that we look forward to the finishing process of our salvation, when we will be completely changed. Our bodies will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, Christ will return. And He will grab out those from the grave who have died, their bodies to be reunited, remade, and be reunited with their spirits. And then those who are alive and believing will be caught up, and they too have to be changed. That's the day of Jesus, when the theological term is glorification. When we are glorified, we are changed to fit into eternity. This old body that's wearing out. When I saw Al, I noticed he was gimping around a little bit and stuff. His age is catching up with him as well as me. Some of you, I noticed those little things that are wearing out sometimes. It happens. No choice but. That's who we are as human beings. We can't change that. Even if we try to take care of ourselves and don't do any work, and we're still going to wear out. We're subject to the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is on a downward progression. But when Christ comes back, the day of Jesus Christ, we will be changed. And we will be given an eternal body. That's an amazing thing. So He who has begun a good work in us will continue it, or continue to perfect it, until the day of Jesus, when we will be completely fit for eternity. We're in that middle part now. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're in between here a little bit. The work has begun, and He is working in you to change you and to accomplish that. But it will not be completed until Jesus returns for us. But we can be confident that that is going to happen. And it's God's doing. It's God's work from start to finish. You know, I'm not necessarily known as a good finisher. Ask this lovely lady sitting over here. You remember that office remodel I did this winter on my office? And nice new bookcase and all that I built. I was so, you could tell I was proud of it, couldn't you? You know, I mentioned it several times. Well, you know what? There's still about two or three boxes of things that were all gathered up and put in boxes for the remodel to take place that I haven't touched yet and put back in their proper place. And I can't believe she hasn't been riding me about it either. But there's something, it'll happen now, there's something about finishing that I almost get there, but a lot of times I don't quite finish. I don't quite make it. It's working! That's kind of my model. If it works, good! But God isn't that way. Praise the Lord. He will finish it. He is a finisher. And that is the hope that I wish to leave with you today. That may be the greatest point. It does a number of things, but one of the things is it gives you security. Me not being a good finisher, if it was up to me, I might not make it to the end. But it's not up to me. God is doing the work. And He will complete it. He will make it perfect. He will perfect it. Because it's God doing it and not me. My faith is important. In fact, it is essential. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But it is God's work, start to finish. I can't quit. I debated whether to tell you this story or not. I've still got 5 minutes, so I can tell it. But I don't think it's a story I've ever told before in church. I don't even think I've talked to my wife about this. But about 50 years ago, and you're not going to believe this to start with, when I was in school, junior high and high school, I was a quarterback. See, I told you wouldn't believe it. I played football through my freshman year, and then I made a decision to quit. There was reasons for that. Number one, it was a lot of work, and I was pretty lazy. It was a lot of work. But secondly, I had stopped growing, and nobody else had. And they just kept getting bigger and bigger, and as a quarterback trying to look over the lineman and find your receiver was pretty difficult. And I loved basketball. Didn't shine at it, but I loved it, and I wanted to put my attention to there. Through the years, I've questioned. Not that I would have ever been a great quarterback, but should I have quit? I didn't quit in the middle of the year. That was my big thing. I just didn't go out the next year. You see, God will never quit us. That will never happen. That will never happen. I can't quit because God doesn't quit on me. Even, you know, I'm pretty sure that Gianforte's will not look back at Wednesday night's altercation with fondness and joy the rest of his life. Now, I'm pretty sure he probably won't. And there are things that we look back on in the same way in our lives. Nobody's perfect. And we've all done things we wish we hadn't have done. And probably will continue to do some things that we wish we wouldn't have done. But God doesn't quit on us even when we do those things. He's promised. He's promised that He will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. You can take that to the bank. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these moments to share. Thank You for who You are and that You are the great God that You are, the initiator of our salvation, the perfecter of our salvation, the completer of our salvation. Father, we thank You for what You've done and what You continue to do and what You will do for all eternity within our lives. We're so thankful that You never give up on us. We pray that You would help us to understand that and to accept this promise as valid, that it is real, that we know who You are and what You will do. We look forward with anticipation to the completion when Jesus Christ returns. We pray that You would bless each heart in Jesus' name. Amen.